Tim Dillon is going to hell.
We're
going to
really take a hard, critical look at the people that society's decided to hate, the billionaires, the dictators, the CEOs.
On Gas Digital Network.
We know that there are bad things in the world, there are bad people, and thank God for them.
Will you join him?
What's good without evil?
Everybody, Tim Dillon. Tim Dillon's going to hell. How are we? Thank you guys so much for coming out to the bus tour. We had a really fun time. Those of you guys who bought tickets, Ray came out first night of the tour. Many of you were, that was a treat. You got to meet him. He is not a character I'm doing. He is a person. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And looking forward to seeing everybody that's here for Skankfest. A lot of people are in town. They made the pilgrimage to New York City for Skankfest. I'm doing a few things. Friday night, we got a Ha the Musical. Not Who Took Johnny. Ha the Musical. Going to be a big disaster. Not worth seeing. But What's Your Fucking Deal? The Crowdwork Show, Big J Show that I did on CISO. That we're going to do at Skankfest Live. That's got a great lineup. And if you have tickets to Skankfest, I mean, the headliners are insane. Artie Lang, Burt Kreischer, Reggie Watts, Jim Gaffigan. It's going to be a fucking insane party. Me and Ray are going to be there definitely Friday. I'll be there all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think Ray will be there at least two of those days, too. But at the Krieg in the Cave and the Gantry Loft in Long Island City. Are you coming, Shannon? Yeah.
I'll be there Friday and Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great. We've decided with this show, because I know a lot of people bring in big guests. They get a big bump. So our surprise guest co-host today is Ray Kump.
Hello.
So we've decided to try something new.
Thanks for having me.
He's brought his legions of followers and fans to the show. You were a big hit on the bus tour.
Oh, yeah.
People loved you.
I enjoyed doing it.
He sat in the front seat. Like a homeless man who had wandered on.
That's where you put me.
Yeah, and you, you had some brilliant lines.
Thank you.
You really did. We were passing the Museum of what is it? Natural History.
Yes.
And you said that Teddy Roosevelt fucked a 13-year-old. I don't even know if that's
true. I believe.
Is that true? Does that come from anything?
Just gut feeling, really.
We just got to go with our gut on that. Old Teddy liked him young, but.
I mean, he might have married her. Who knows?
Somebody was like, after the show, they came up to me. They're like, Ray had a lot of great facts. And I'm like, I don't.
Sorta.
You mean about Teddy Roosevelt being a pedophile, you know? I'm like, maybe he did. We had one rich family came on the tour. And I was talking to my agent today. My agent was like, you know, I was sitting next to the rich family. And they lived on, you know, on Fifth Avenue. And she's like, you know, they really liked it. It's like, yeah, of course they like. They what? Of course they like some fat clown making fun. They don't give a shit.
Look how nice their curtains are.
The idea that, like, they would be threatened at all by my and your buffoonery.
We don't even have the quality of, like, men who could turn the mob. You know,
right.
We can't get a riot started.
Anybody who thinks of this show as anything other than, like, a show, and they come to me, they're like, you're doing some. Like, I had a friend say to me, he goes, you should do an expose on nursing home. I'm like, expose?
What?
What is this, like seven on your side?
Like Geraldo?
Yeah, me and Ray show up to a nursing home. We're like, what are you doing in there? What are you doing? Are you fucking them? Supposedly, the nursing home business is a huge scam, which I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, I used to see a lot of old dead ladies at the morgue, you know. And I don't know. They had
this is before you worked there. You would just go.
Yeah, I would just hang out. You get buy tickets. They had a lot of bruises on them.
Yeah.
And I would ask, like, is this elder abuse? And like, no, they're just old.
Well, their skin, my grandmother, when she got older, she would bruise very easily.
Covered in bruises, these people.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's part of the thing. Like, you know, like the busybody daughter comes in.
Right.
And she sees bruises on the mom's. Like, what are they doing? Or are they trying to ice?
Well, there are, I mean, hidden camera videos of them just
people.
Really hitting these people with brooms. I mean, it is, not to laugh, but I mean, there is more than just that.
Here's the thing.
There is also your elderly mother being like, he choked me in my sleep.
There are plenty of good people in that line of work. But
sure. Are there really?
I think maybe. Well, here's the thing. I don't know what the credentials are. I don't want to speak out of turn here. But it is the kind of thing where old people can be frustrating as fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, it shouldn't be a job that you have to take.
There's got to be a way to discipline them.
Right.
You know, there's got to be a way.
Well, look, they think they have no boundaries, and it's your job to, you know, remind them, hey, you're not dead yet.
Some old people are just horribly racist to the help. Yeah. You know, they just say the N-word, and they'll be like, get over here, you slave, and everything. And it's like, yeah, well, you're getting your ass kicked for a reason.
Look, it's like you're feeble, and your skin's kind of falling off. Does that make you, does that make you bulletproof? Right. I don't think so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just quit running your mouth.
Yeah. You got to understand we're in a climate here. Yeah. You know? You got to be.
Times are changing. You better get your act together.
I mean, I've seen old people talk to orderlies in a way and nurses in a way where if I were a nurse, I would haul off and hit them.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Look, these are people who are in pain, I guess, and they're uncomfortable, and their body's falling apart in many different ways. They probably can't stop themselves from shitting.
Right.
And, yeah, it'll make you cranky. Look, it gets humid that I get cranky. So, you know, I can relate to these old
fucks. My mother has talked to her nurse in a way where I go, Ma, I'm telling you right now, if she turned around and smacked you right now, I wouldn't reprimand her.
Right.
You're being unreasonable here, you know?
And your grandma, on the other hand, what is she, 95, 93, something like that?
When she died, she was like 88.
You know, for her age, she moved fine. But yeah, but she was an old woman.
She was old.
And every reason in the world to be cranky and just kind of crotchety. And the most lovely, hilarious woman ever.
Yeah, she was lovely. But you know what was good? I hate to say it. I don't want to say it's good that she died. But, like, it's good that she went out. Because the life that she would have led, coming out of the hospital,
right,
going into a nursing home, when she had only lived, you know, she lived on her own for the majority of her life. Her husband died when she was, you know, her daughters were like 8 or 9. So she had then never remarried. She lived alone. She, you know, had her own house. She had autonomy over her life. Like the idea
can
that
you
like,
imagine like this woman of God.
Yeah.
Like that priest, that funeral we talked about before. Like, just like she's been preparing to meet God for decades.
Yeah, she was committed.
Can you imagine she had to go to a nursing home and end up like facing abuse at the end of her life?
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Like, that would just be the worst.
It would be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is what happens. You know, people are saying, and the people that supposedly are in the nursing home business don't, you know, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to.
They're not really.
But, yeah, it's
why aren't you going in on these people? Do you have, like, connections to the nursing home
industry? I just don't
know.
I feel like there are people from, like, the West Indies who are good.
You're being very cagey. I'm not talking about.
I've heard there's some immigrant groups that are, like, really good at old nurses for old people.
No, I don't mean.
But that being said, I don't also want to be like, hey, some shit job that you have, like, these idiots have to take, and, like, they're just scumbags. I don't know.
I mean the administrators.
Oh, yeah.
In a way. I think more than the actual rank and file.
They're
probably,
like, playing the odds. Unless you're just some rich person's, you know.
Right.
They're probably scum. Like,
right.
The bureaucracy never works, especially when you're dealing with, like, these living, shitting creatures.
Yeah. It's also like we talk about, like, the pedophile cults. It's like when you're a kid and when you're old, it's like, this is when we get you. This is when society doesn't really give a fuck about you.
Right.
And, you know, in the middle, you've got some say.
Well, that is the thing, because here's the deal. I've wiped asses at the morgue.
Yeah.
You know, I had to clean.
Why? Can I ask again why?
We had to have them
clean. You were hired as a photographer.
Right.
So how do you go
from a morgue
photographer to wiping asses?
All right. I think people think photographer and it's all like white collar.
Yeah, it's
like
glamorous.
Well, no, but
you're taking pictures of Cindy Crawford.
No, but like you're a photographer, you just take. And look, before me, there was
look
more.
Look at me seductively. Can you look at the camera? Make love to the camera and yourself. Touch yourself.
Before I got there, there was that kind of like divide. And it's ridiculous. It's the kind of everything you think about when you think about like just like overbloated union workplaces where it's like, I'm taking the pictures, but I got to tell someone else to come over and like clean this smudge or whatever.
Right.
Or like you have to clean the body first. But they're doing 3 other things. I'm like, why don't I just clean the fucking body?
So you suggested that you wipe
people's
asses.
They were fine
asses.
With it.
But you suggested.
Well, that wasn't the first thing. But
most
like,
people, this is just interesting about you. This is what I think makes you great. Most people that wipe asses for a living are made to do it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want anyone to have it over me like, oh, you're too squeamish to wipe this ass.
That's another great thing about you is that you see life in this very interesting way in which somehow someone one day would look down on you for not volunteering to clean someone's asshole.
I just feel, I'm a rugged, I don't know what I am, but I'm a guy who, I'm not a guy who wants people to do his like work for him.
Right, now, even when it's not your work.
Well, that's the thing.
It's not really your work.
But it's like, hey, can you come over and clean this body? Because I can't touch it. Like, come on. Like, I'll clean it.
Did anyone ask you to clean a body ever? Or were you?
Once the precedent was started, they'd be like, hey, you want to clean it?
But the first time.
You know, think of it this way.
Were you doing it before they asked you to do it? Were you touching these people before it was allowed?
No, it was more like, hey, like we're waiting around for someone to come over and clean
it. Yeah, wait, this can't be you're waiting for somebody to clean it.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, you want me to just, you know, wash it down? Look, there is a certain level of.
Can you say that again? Can you say that slowly, please?
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Say it slowly into the microphone, please.
You want me to wash it down?
Yeah. So that's what you said. Now, if you had said, do you want me to wash it down? I would have had you put in jail. What world does the person go, yeah, that sounds about right?
I think I had some responsibility to clean, maybe. I can't remember what my task was.
How is the job responsibilities not delineated?
Well, here's the thing. Like, for instance,
these are dead people.
I take the x-rays, but the morgue tech has to, like, take the gurney and put the body onto the table. Once it's on the table, I got to adjust things anyway. It's not like I'm not touching body.
You have to touch the body.
It's like, yeah, it's not. And so, like, I got to wait for some literal older woman, some 65-year-old woman, to move this body onto the table for me.
Any of those old ladies feel like you were cutting in on their job? Like, they're going to fucking fire me. If you keep cleaning these asses, I'm getting fired.
No, it's a union thing.
Oh, so nobody's getting fired.
No one's getting fired. Come on. My point is, like, what, am I going to let some fucking old woman do my... Or the other thing is, we got three bodies going at once, so they're, like, wrist deep in a fucking, you know, gunshot victim.
Right.
I got some decomp come in, you know, hey, can you stop what you're doing?
Decomp? How long do they find you before you're a decomp?
Depends on time of year, but...
Was it in the summer you go quicker?
Summer you go quicker.
Yeah.
Usually like a week or two in the normal...
What's the longest when somebody... Have they brought somebody in? They were like, we don't even know when this guy...
Sure. I mean, the problem is you got skeletonized.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Where they bring in a skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, totally. No, like the maggots get you quick.
Now, do you put the skeleton in a position and take a photo of it?
No, never did that. Come on.
I'm not saying... I'm talking about as your job.
Oh. Well, one time a doctor ripped the skeleton's head off and handed it to me.
Why?
To x-ray it.
Why?
It'd just be easier, I think.
Why?
Just instead of moving the whole skeleton?
Who's running this operation? I have very little confidence in the Suffolk County Medical Examiner.
She was a pro. That doctor was a pro. I don't know what's her name. But she was good.
Okay.
And I don't know.
I'll wash this down. You want me to wash this down? I'll wash this down.
Look.
You keep saying look. Look is this word of a guilty person.
Look. Look.
In the summer, you go quick. You go, you know, like, you ever see, like, an apple tree in your yard or someone you know, and, like, you see, like, the apples on the floor, they go rotten?
I've talked about smoking crack when I was 13. You think I have an apple tree in my yard? Like,
I had shitty apple trees in my yard.
I have an apple tree. Oh, yes, and we would pick the apples and bring them to the crack house.
I don't know where you live, but, like, apple trees aren't some great thing. Apple trees are a pain in the ass.
Okay.
We had two apple trees. We didn't, like, tend it and, like, prune it. And they just have these shitty apples, not even mowing the lawn. They'd be all mushy and crappy, and they smell bad. That's what like a summer decomp feels like.
Yeah.
That kind of mushy, rotten
apple.
But
a cold, frozen winter.
Well, what happens is because it's colder, you're allowed to kind of, it's like a slow cook.
Okay.
But, you know, in the opposite way.
And, I don't want to make the whole episode about decomposition of
You start
of
to blow,
bodies.
You get green, swamp thing.
Oh, yeah. But then, and then what do? You got to make that look nice for a funeral? No, none of these things are going to funerals.
You know, close casket probably. But you gotta you gotta do your best to do an ID picture. So, sometimes I'm gonna Photoshop it or make it black and white. Yeah, but you got like all the bloated lips and the fucking puffy eyes.
Yeah. Do you use like effects on that, like Instagram?
I would.
A couple of filters.
Well, not filters.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
We got in trouble, not trouble, but like we got pushback from the funeral homes because like not just the decomps, but like people come in mangled, you know, car accidents and shit, and maybe even gunshots. And I would, like, fix them up for the ID pictures so we can show the family. And the doctors love it because they don't want to have to, like, you know, deal with the family. They're like, yeah, look at this. It's fine. Is this your dad? Good. And the funeral home kept being like, because they get these bodies. And the people would come in and they go, yeah, it's going to be a closed casket. Like, why? We saw the picture. It's fine. And it's like, what picture? And they wouldn't know. We're fixing them up.
Right.
Digitally. But then, you know.
I mean, I was at my friend's father's funeral. I was at my grandmother's funeral. I've been at a few funerals recently, and like the people never looked the way they looked. It really is disturbing. It really is just nobody looks the way they look. You're heavily made up. They look very. Their face is different. I mean, when all of the life has drained out of you, you really. I mean, you could tell. You could see it.
Oh, yeah, because when you see them, like, you know, not embalmed and shit,
right?
They're just. It's just a certain. Like a grayness to
this. All right,
skin.
We're gonna move on. This is we've devoted enough time to this. God only knows what demo this is. This fucking hasn't. Who hasn't turned this off yet? You know what I mean? Like,
it's fascinating to people.
It's not fascinating to anyone. No one is fascinated by this. The people are interested in what happens if I've been going with my friend who's another grifter. She has more money than me. The grift is a higher level, but it's still a grifter. And I've been going to a private club in New York, and with her for the last couple of days.
A sex club?
No, unfortunately. You know, maybe, there are weird things that happen there.
Okay.
There are weird. They have, like, game night. They paint a naked dude.
Really?
Yeah, there's some stuff going on.
All right.
That's kind of fun.
You shove anything in his ass?
I mean, I don't know. That's not on the flyer. But, I mean.
I mean, were you there for that?
No, I've just been going for lunch because I like these beignets, these donuts they have. They make these fresh donuts. I just sit. It's a private club. It's a four-floor townhouse, and she's a member, and I just sit in the living room, and I eat beignets, and everyone's there to work. Like, they bring their MacBooks. It's a creative club, so all these are, like, writers and creative people, and she's like, you could work here. She's like, you should bring your MacBook and write, and I'm like, I'll just eat the beignets, and I just eat beignets. I get powder all over myself, and, like, I keep more of them. I go, more beignets. And people,
are they free?
No, you pay for them. But they're like $8. You get four fat beignets.
For $8?
Great. It's great.
Big beignets for $8?
Nice beignets.
Ooh.
But people are disgusted by it because I'm sitting there just eating.
Usually you get like four for a table of six people probably.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
So you cut them up maybe.
Yeah, and define people. But right. But it's a beautiful thing. And I'm thinking, I want to join. I just don't have any money, but it's such a cool.
They don't want you there.
No, if you pay now, all of these clubs are desperate.
Really?
They're desperate, these clubs. The Knickerbocker, that still won't take us.
Okay.
But you would be shocked at where you could get in now. I'm not even kidding. Places, because nobody wants to do this shit anymore. Because Instagram's the club. Like, rich people can find other rich people now very easily.
Right.
You look on Instagram. Oh, they're rich. You're rich. DM them. Now you're friends.
So if I... Well, here's the plan I have.
I want to bring you to this club and feed you beignets. It's $3,000 up front and $2,000 a year. It's not that expensive.
That's doable.
I could
probably afford that.
We could all afford it. I'm just saying, to go in there and just stuff you with beignets and you're, I want a beignet! And I just... Because it would be... And they would do something to get us out within a few months. There'd be some. The members would start complaining.
Speaking of Instagram, what would happen if I went to, like, Bergdorf Goodman?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I like this.
And I started taking Instagram pictures with the objects, but pretending I wasn't in the store.
What do you mean objects? Like, oh, the mannequins.
It's one of the things they sell.
I'm more than willing to go and try. What do you mean? I don't know.
I want to pretend to be rich on Instagram.
Yeah, they don't give a shit what you do at Bergdorf
Goodman. Do you think I can pull it off?
I mean, they might tase you.
No, I think you could pull off, like, to the Instagram crowd that I'm rich. I want to infiltrate these people.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't think so. Because you'd have to delete. A lot of your Instagram is like a picture of a shoe in the subway.
Right.
And people just imagine you ate whatever was wearing the shoe. So, I'll wash it down. But what's great about these private clubs, the food is fine, but you start to realize it's like, the greatest thing in the world is just people can't go. That's the greatest thing about any place, is that it's exclusive, where it's like, oh, the win here is that we can't go. Like me and Ray go to restaurants all the time. Like, they moved me and Ray the other day in a restaurant because we were, like, sitting in a, like, table that was, like, prominent, like, where people could see us. They, like, moved us against the wall.
Yeah, like, when people being walked to their table, they get a glimpse of us. Fucking,
yeah, they're like...
Just like... picking the bits of shellfish out of the
out of our mouth. Yeah. And you could tell the Maitre D was like, kind of looked at, like, his head waiter was like, this is not our brand. Like, get them out of here.
Our waiter was very nonplussed by us.
Yeah, because they don't want us. They want wealthy foreign people. They don't want people like us. That's not what they want.
And they know we're not.
Well, they get an idea.
I could be a Serbian lord. You don't know who I am.
I just love the idea of, like, the cops just dragging you out. You're like, I'm a Serbian lord. I'm a lord of, listen to me. But the thing is, these private clubs, man, you could just go. It's a beautiful townhouse. You could just go and work all day with your MacBook. You don't have to go anywhere. Nobody rushes you out. It's not like a fucking restaurant where as soon as you're done, they're like, hey, by the way, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Which is everything's so transactional now. Every restaurant, they're like, hey, thanks for coming. Did you spend $250? Good. Get out. Thanks. You know? As soon as they hit the table restaurant now, they're like, are you ready? For what? You know, I'm coming in to eat. They want to turn that table. Your real estate values are up. But this private club, you can just go and just sit on a couch. You bring your dog.
They have a TV.
But these are the changes we could make, Ray. We could get on the board.
Can they watch the Gilmore Girls? Or am I the
club? He just wants to watch the Gilmore Girls and eat beignets.
Not beignet, please.
But that's... I literally said, I got the dirtiest look ever because I'm just sitting there. And I go like this. I'm holding a little dog. I'm just a fat slob. I'm holding this. My friend has a tiny dog. I'm drinking this tea. I have this teacup. And I'm drinking this teacup, and I got this dog. And the dog starts barking. So I turn around to the dog, and I go, shut the fuck up. And then I wave to the waitress. I go, more beignets, please. And the people were like, can someone get this slovenly monster out of here? It was like they gave me a look like, how did this even happen? How did we allow it? Like, that's the decline of, like, New York and old money and all that. She's, like, looking at me going, how have things gotten this bad?
I bet you John Rockefeller was like that, though.
The original thin. One. He looked thin.
Well, not fat, but, I mean, he was a guy who worked with his hands. He was poor.
Just eating beignets?
Yeah.
I think he was one of those poor guys that doesn't talk that much.
Right.
And was just very, like, you know, was in his own head. That's a new thing with people now. When you meet people, especially people that are very active on social, there's a whole generation of people that have grown up in the internet. They're like creatures of the internet, okay? And all of their great moments in life have been online.
Right.
It's sick. But like there is a generation of people who like their deepest relationships have been created online. There's the photo right there of me and the dog. That's what people had to see today. They weren't thrilled.
That's not the life of luxury.
that is
for you. I'm saying that's not
for me.
Yeah,
it's as good as it gets.
Right.
It ain't getting much better than that.
This is what it, I see people like.
Can you imagine? You walk in. If you need to know what this is, go to my Instagram, Tim J Dillon, Dillon. If you go to the Instagram and you see that, if you imagine they're taking prospective members around the club and they're like, oh, this is our resident fat pig.
This is the kind of fucking situation that like someone starts a rival bank over. This is how like a Fed gets started.
They let Tim Dillon in the Norwood. He brought his friend Ray Kump and they there was a whole movement. Everybody left. They started another house.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened with JP Morgan, he left the Knickerbocker and he started the Metropolitan Club.
Oh,
it was like a huge thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
But like all these guys that are creatures of the internet, when you meet these people in life, they're all weirdly autistic.
Yes.
They're like quiet. They don't really know how to talk to you. They can't really look you in the eye.
There's no one. Look, these people don't value any kind of like worldliness or like just, you know, I don't want to say rugged, but like just that kind of grime of life, the Hemingway-esque.
Right.
Kind of grime.
Right.
No one wants that.
Nobody wants that.
They just want the pictures.
They want the pictures.
They read a book so they can, you know, like put one quote up on their fucking Instagram.
Right.
They're just shallow, vapid.
Everybody's clean now. Yeah. And it's a type of clean. I don't even mean physically, but I just mean the idea of like they've never been punched in the face. They've never had any of these life experiences. You know, that kind of built, like we've had a lot of life experiences that get dirty.
Yeah.
You build up some
dirt. I was at a party at work the other day and someone handed me, I had a few drinks. I was drinking wine and beer and I ended up vomiting on myself.
Is that true?
It's true. But it was off to the side. It was off.
Wait a minute. Where is the party?
It was at work.
Yeah.
And because someone handed me weed.
This is the problem with this show is that every time we make a good point, about like the culture going in the wrong direction, then one of us tells a story that makes everybody who agrees with us go, oh, no, they're wrong. Like, they're really wrong. Like, nothing that they say, they're absolutely wrong. How do you vomit? What happened?
Well, I just, like, someone handed me some weed, and I'm like, all right, and I took some, And it just, I lights out, and I went to sit down, and I started vomiting wine on the floor next to me. And
where?
Oh, it's like if you look at the building, it's like off to the side.
You're in the building?
No, outside.
You're outside.
Some people saw it, but it wasn't ideal.
I mean,
I don't think everyone saw me.
I don't think I can bring you to the club now. Can't vomit.
It won't happen again. It was a perfect storm.
You're vomiting outside.
Not big vomiting.
Does anybody care about you enough to go, is that guy dying?
A couple people, the cops.
Were the cops involved?
Well, they came by and they like,
oh
what's
my
going
God,
on?
Is this true?
Yeah, and they were
do
like,
you still work there?
Yeah, it's fine.
So wait a minute, the cops came and saw you vomiting on yourself.
Well, I wasn't like continuously vomiting. They were there in the aftermath. They saw, but they made me like get up and walk
around. The aftermath of what?
I'm like, I was sitting down and I was vomiting a little bit.
Let me ask you a question: are you the reason the police were called?
They weren't calling; they were just driving by.
The police were driving by,
and they saw me like sitting down, passed out, probably.
And this is a work event.
Well, I mean, they don't know a party's going on inside.
I'm not. Let's forget the cops for a second. This is a work event.
Yeah.
And what kind of party is it? For what? It's not a holiday party.
It's just a general, like...
It's a general summer get-together.
It's a half day, yeah.
It's a half day. And you chose to get intoxicated.
Well, I didn't choose... I've been up... Like, I was working... I worked through the night before. I was like... I've been there since the day before working on this project.
You were at Vice since the day before.
Yeah. And they were happy. Like, they were like, oh, I was impressed. You were impressed. I stuck, you know...
With the vomit?
They were impressed. Well,
So now, because when I used to drink and smoke weed, that was what would do it to me. If I had a couple of hits of weed, I would go, oh, I'm kind of going down
fast.
Yeah,
bad choice.
And did you the moment before it happened, were you like, oh, this is bad?
Yeah.
And then I've done this. Did you try to get out or away from where you were?
I was trying, and I could barely move. It was so bad.
At the work event, you could barely move.
I was outside.
Like, who's around you, though?
No one. The guy the guy I work with, but like, he was fine. Like, yeah, he's the one who gave me the whatever. Point is,
so there's nobody's really seeing you.
No.
When did people start to notice that you are passed out and you vomited all over yourself?
Half hour later.
A half hour. And who sees you? Does someone stumble out into the courtyard and say, that video editor is dead? Is that what they say?
Kind of. It's something like that. Look, we're getting like lost in the weeds here. The point.
Oh, the weeds are. We're right where we need to be.
The point is, you know, I'm living a life. I got a little dirty.
You ruined my point. You just ruined my
point. I got a little dirty.
I was talking about people being gritty and real.
I'm gritty and real.
Oh, God. I'm talking about, you know, the type of formative experiences when you're a kid and young adult that shape you. They shouldn't all be online. And then you just basically said, yeah, just because the other night at a party, I fell asleep and I was vomiting on myself and I passed out. And everyone thought I was dead. That's not what
when
I mean.
When you put it that way, I see how you can delineate the two different types of things.
Right, yeah. But my point was more like, you know, I get where you're going to with all of that. That's like me talking about blowing someone in a hotel room. And the first time I blew somebody was a... It was like a pay-by-the-hour motel room. It was like a young, good-looking firefighter. Well, he was training to be a firefighter. He's probably not a firefighter. Right. He probably never. You know what I mean? That's a hard thing to do, but he probably never got.
Best case volunteer.
Yeah, best case. He's a kid from Brooklyn, but like when I tell people like, oh, these gays today, they don't know. And by the way, it's not like I grew up in like the ghettos of AIDS and you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I had not, like, you know what I mean? But with me, it was like you were young. You would go on Craigslist and just find somebody to blow and stuff. But it's just such a harrowing story when you tell it to people.
Yeah.
Like people that have grown up and they come out young and they have a boyfriend or they have social media. And then you just go, wait a minute. So you got in a car with a stranger and went to a hotel room and blew each other? It's like, yeah.
Wait, gays don't do that anymore?
I mean,
these gay kids aren't having anonymous sex.
No, they are. But I think it's different now because I think that like I don't think anyone's on Craigslist anymore. I think like there's apps, there's Grindr. I'm not kidding. You probably got laid that night when you were passed out. But at the end of the day, I think now it's more above board where back then you were terrified. And not that everybody was terrified. People had a lot more guts and balls than I did. But I stayed in the closet until I was 25. It came out very late.
Right.
So back then, you were kind of terrified about people finding out. You didn't want people to know, so you would go on Craigslist. It wasn't like you had an app, but you didn't really have smartphones like the way that you did now. You couldn't just go on an app. So like, you would just meet up with a dude. You would maybe saw one grainy picture.
Right.
So you were really taking a chance. You know what I mean? Like, sure. You were taking a chance. You didn't really know. But it's like, whenever I say that, like, now when you're dating, all the magic's taken out of it. People are like, what's the magic? And I'm like, you used to just suck a guy's cock in a dirty motel in Brooklyn, and he'd threaten you before you did it. And if you said anything, he'd kill you. And they go, oh, that sounds horrible. I'm like, I guess it was.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something about
it. Are we just fetishizing, like, pulp novels?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but it's our lives. I mean, these aren't things that haven't happened.
Right.
This is real.
But I'm saying, it's like, why am I okay with it?
I don't know. There's something about this new online culture that I don't connect to, and it scares me because I think that's where everything's headed. Like, Eliza Schlesinger, who has been mean to me, but is very successful as a comedian, said some disparaging thing about female comedy. It was a dumb thing to say. But the pile-on.
Right.
And it's not only her, it's just anybody. The pile-on of just, like, this culture of people that all they want to do is just rip people to shreds. Everybody online, this guy's getting wrecked. This guy gets owned. This girl gets, you know. And you just, and it's just, to me, it's just kind of like, it's this culture I don't really connect to, and all these people that are making, like, funny points online, and like, oh, look at my comment, it got 38 likes. It's like, dude, get a fucking life.
Yeah.
Go get a life. Like, figure something out. Twitter is the most offensive to me because there's nothing is quite like Twitter, where literally you're taking someone else's point of view and you're just putting it on your timeline. Like, you're retweeting it. You're just going, oh, this was that guy's opinion, now it's my opinion.
Right.
And there's nothing that discourages contemplative, deep thought like Twitter. Twitter's in the moment, instantaneous, boom, boom, boom.
I mean, you look at, like, you ever look at a Trump tweet and you see the thousands of people commenting on it.
Yeah.
And then, look, you read it and you go, I see where this guy's coming from. He's probably not an idiot. But, like, when you participate in this act of, like, I'm going to comment on someone else's point, it just brings everyone down to this level of, like, just...
It's just everybody's in the mud.
Yeah.
Like, people, these are comics. There's comics that I respect. Like, Trump tweets something about Cuba, and, like, comics that I like are tweeting things like, the only Cuban people you know make margaritas at Mar-a-Lago. It's like, what is the point of this? Like, do you think he's going to, like, respond? Is the point to just show other people that you're engaging with him?
That is exactly what it's. Yeah. It's telegraphing your virtue.
Right.
That is the big fucking thing.
Virtue signaling. Yeah.
Right, that's right. It's this whole thing of, like, I know I'm a good person. So I don't, me personally, I'm saying this. Like, I know I'm a good, I don't need to prove it every 5 seconds saying, like, you know, oh, Philando Castillo's guy should have. Yeah, of course he should have. We don't know at this point.
100% fucking, all of those cases are these miscarriages of justice. And many of them, the majority of them.
And look, if someone's got a valid point to make, fine. But the level of.
So here's the other thing. So at what point, and this is an interesting argument, because I'm with you, I can't tweet about every fucking thing, but every now and then I'll tweet about something. I'll be like, hey, and it's like, because you don't want to seem like you're apathetic, and you don't, so, but we all know that social media is not real activism.
Right.
Like, it's not, doesn't seem to be moving the meter in any significant way. So it's almost kind of like, well, what's left to do? I think I've always understood activism as people that give up lucrative careers, who have skills, lawyers, doctors, people that know things that can help people, people that give up lucrative careers to work on behalf of oppressed people. And that's what I understand activism. Not the only kind of activism, but that seems like very effective activism.
If you can call it activism, perhaps you're right. I mean, here's the thing. We're stuck in this, like, a paradigm of, like, everything's got to get done now. And, like, we're not going to solve the problem completely, then it's nothing. Like, you can go out for many charities that are related to this problem you're talking about.
Right.
And help. It won't solve the systemic problem.
How do you solve the systemic problem other than time in many of these issues? Because nobody wants to hear time heals all wounds. And I understand why they don't want to hear it.
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. You know, racially charged
I just want to join that club. We're talking about getting me $3,000 to join that private club, to be honest. I mean, that's what I've been talking about. I'm talking about, like, how to, like...
No,
what's
yeah.
the best way to get?
What's the best way to get you in? I think we got a blackmail.
No, but you know, listen, you know what I'm talking about.
No, but look, it depends. Look, the whole idea of like, yeah, with these like, great, like, you know, cops shooting people. I don't know. I mean, like, maybe in that case there isn't the, but I mean, there's plenty of like, if we're talking about like, you know, whether it's global warming shit, right. whether it's fucking, you know, like people starving and all this shit. Yeah, you can go out and like, you know, work in a soup, not just soup kitchens, but like there's a lot of, like, I'm not an expert on charities, but I know there's a lot of shit out there.
There's a lot of
where
shit
people
you can
like
do
shit for the homeless. It's very proactive,
yeah,
and they do shit for
but
like
nobody cares about the homeless anymore. Nobody cares about people. Really, are just it's like you go up to a homeless guy and they'd be like, "What? You're a cisgender?" Like everything is so you know, rooted in identity right now. That people are now like, you know, it's just we're all supposed to retreat to our respective corners and then scream at each other forever. Like, there's all these articles like straight allies don't go to gay pride if you don't understand these five things. And it's just like, what is this for?
This whole ally thing.
Right.
It's like it's just being a good person.
Or just be a good person.
That's you're one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a gay ally.
Right. Well, nobody really, I mean, ally to me. Come on. I mean, it's like, I think the gay community really wants me.
My point is, like,
me or you.
My point is, like, yeah, I think someone might have made this point too, like, before this, but it's like, you know, like, with the whole, like, you know, oh, I'm a feminist. Like, you're just a good person.
Right.
Like, the bar should be changed.
You know
the bar should be changed. Like, we're at a point in culture now where, like, it's not a virtue anymore to be feminist. No, you just want equal rights for everyone.
Yeah.
That's the baseline now. It should be the baseline. Let's stop acting like we're these great people. Oh, do you not hate black people?
Right.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, you didn't club a trans person on the way home? Oh, well, congratulations.
Just, like, I don't need to, like, oh, you're an ally.
But there's this weird, like, gamesmanship, one-upmanship. Like, I'm better than you. And nobody's good.
Right.
Because everybody is still, everything everybody does is still very.
These pussies, if this was, like, the early 80s, whenever the fuck Stonewall happened, they all would have scurried like rats.
Right. Well, that was the one thing in that article I agreed with, where they were like, the first Pride was a police riot.
Right.
So, like, there was, like, just keep that in mind. Like, and then there's certain things. Like, for example, they'll be like, straight chicks having bachelor parties in gay bars. I don't have an issue with it. I don't really care.
But here's the thing about that, too. I get the straight chicks in the gay bar thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, like, I wouldn't go to Pride, but, like, I was, like, out drinking.
Well, they want you. They've requested.
Right.
Tim Dillon going to hell float.
I was there for the morning of Pride.
Me, you, and Russ Baker just, like, imagine Russ Baker shows up in assless chaps. And we're just, like, with maracas and everything. Kennedy was killed by the government. Nixon was framed.
But you know, you can't throw a huge party and like sell the fucking armbands and the fucking
and
little stickers.
Right.
I don't show up unless you shut up.
It's a party.
You commercializing or not?
Right. It's a party.
Yeah.
It's gotten and you're lucky that it's a party.
Right.
And you're lucky that you're at the point now. There is real work to be done. Gay people are still denied many rights.
Yeah, but not on Pride Day.
You have not
fostered on Pride Day an environment of like rational discussion.
Right. This is not what it's about. You're on a float. You're hitting people with your dick, which is great.
The fact that you can have this giant exhibition parade and really, reasonably speaking, not be afraid that anyone's going to get hurt is the victory.
That's one of the victories.
I'm saying my point
is I've always been focused on like, I'm always like, I'm the guy that's like, doesn't everybody want to like get married and assimilate to some degree? And then I'm called like a psychopath because like I'm like I don't respect queer culture or something. And I'm like, but isn't the point that we can now just be who we are? And that like, yes, if you want to be in musical theater, great. And that's phenomenal. But if you're a fucking electrical engineer and you happen to fucking you can marry a dude and do like. But this weird identity is like, I feel like some people in the gay community are seemingly afraid of, I guess, losing that. And I understand, like, I understand gay culture is a lot of cool things about it. And if you mainstream it, it's not going to be as cool. But listen, the reality is a lot of things mainstream, you do lose a little bit of the edge, but you gain other things. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah, look, you always, when people are ostracized, when they're pushed to the edges of society, you're always going to, you know, like it's always going to bubble up in certain ways,
right.
But the point is, like, I guarantee you, you know, for most people back then, if you trade the oppression, because back then you were afraid of getting your ass
oppressed,
beat all the time.
It was horrible.
If you were holding hands with a dude in public,
your sexuality was a disease, that you were a predator. you know, all of those things, and you were told that you were disgusting and shameful, and then you act in ways.
Here's the thing,
you know, that, you know, we're, you know,
we look around, the same way we were talking before, like the Hemingway, and like we look around New York and it's like, oh, this is shit. Remember the,
right,
you know, you look at like the Velvet Underground in the 60s, like, oh, that was cool, yeah, but you know, yeah, Reed and all that shit. I feel like with gay kids, probably the same thing, where it's like, yeah, oh, I missed the cool part. And they don't, but they also, they're not thinking about getting their head busted in
no,
the subway.
And I think with gay kids now, I think the reality is they are in the cool part. I think there's no, I mean, listen, it's horrible to be gay in certain parts of the world, even certain parts of the country, but to be gay now in 2017, there's been no better time to be gay.
Sure.
There's no better time. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I do think we've made a lot of progress. I think the whole idea that we haven't made progress or that it'll never be enough, I don't subscribe to that. This whole idea that, like, we're always going to remain this oppressed group and that we're never going to be able to say that things are enough. And that I think if your only identity is oppression, it's not a good look.
Well, that's what I think. That's the worst part of oppressing people, is that they end up being defined by that.
Yeah.
So, like, my point is, like, that's, I understand why, like, there is this gay identity.
Yeah.
But I think the ultimate end goal should be, like, it, like the fact that I'm heterosexual is not, like, a huge part of my mental,
right,
what I think of myself, like
right,
it's just it should be incidental. Yeah, you can fuck who you, you, yeah, know, when you want to, and like, yeah, maybe, yeah, and you fall in love, whatever, and like when you take it away, it becomes the most important thing.
Yeah,
the freedom to do it,
right?
But like, it should just be, you shouldn't be a gay guy,
right?
I shouldn't be a straight. It's just like, it seems common sense to me.
Yeah,
but like, people want, like, and it's not just about gay shit now.
Yeah.
Everything in life, though, like, you know, are you ethno trans Irish?
Right, right,
like,
right,
people want to label themselves, yeah, so goddamn much.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you, like, what makes, well, you interesting? What,
right,
are you doing?
Well, it really, all of this, a lot of it comes from the fact that many people are not interesting, and that's fine.
Right.
But they feel the burden to be, because of the social media, because of the climate that we're in, where every day they have to share.
Right.
So they feel the burden.
And I feel like there used to be a thing where it's like, oh, if you wanted to be interesting to people at the bar or the,
yeah,
or at a party, maybe you read a book or two.
Right.
Maybe you learn about art. And,
yeah,
like, and maybe it's not the most pure reason to do it.
Yeah.
But it's more healthy. It's like, oh, I learned something.
Well,
and
number, right,
you know, I have something to offer conversationally.
I think at the end of the day, who, you know, any quality about you, whether it's your race, your religion, your sexual orientation, your gender, your, none of it should be as interesting as you,
right,
as a person. Like, you would, the, you know, the point of view that you've cultivated, and some of those characteristics help frame that point of view, but still, that's kind of the most interesting thing, you know. I mean, whatever, but I mean, we're in a weird climate now. I don't know where it's going. I social media, I'm on it to the extent that, you know, I have to be. I'm on it a lot. It's part of my job. But I do think it's deeply unhealthy, and it's not, we're not heading towards a good place. You see all these skirmishes that people are having with each other, and, you know, the far left and the far right, all these extremes, everybody's taking to the streets. Like,
my kids getting, they're still getting cyberbullied, right? It's still a big thing.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't have kids.
I know these kids, like, apparently, like, overall, I think they don't bully as much.
I think
it's still the,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, I think,
like,
there are certain kids that are still dicks. I mean, kids are always going to be dicks.
Right.
Kids are always going to suck, you know? I mean, at the end of, so I found, I mean, I talked about this on the other show, but, like, I mean, Paul Benassi's Facebook is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. The guy from Who Took Johnny, like, there's nothing funnier than his Facebook. He's like, I'm not politically correct. Sorry. And it's like, well, you've earned the right to,
yeah,
not be politically correct.
I think you took at least one for the team.
Yeah, I mean,
more.
You know, you've earned the right to not be. But no, man, like you said it, people that are younger, are, you know, they are kind of different. They are, you know, because, again, to grow up in this climate online,
right,
to grow up in this way, you know, is, you know, everybody is a product of their environment. We're going to have, we're going to have a social media guy on the show in a few weeks, whenever we could get him on. And what's amazing is this guy has more, and he's a nice guy, I like him. He's got more views on his videos that he makes in his basement than CBS has on a sitcom that they've poured millions into. You know, we are existing in a fascinating time.
Right.
In this business. I have more, we have more downloads on this podcast than people that I've performed in front of in a long time. I mean, if you added up every show I've done, to get to the thousands, tens of thousands of people that we reach with this podcast, it would be. So when you meet, when I had these meetings in LA, you're talking to these people that are in development, and they're in charge of, like, you know, some of them are in charge of digital development. So they're running the digital platforms of these networks. And some of them are network people, and they're, you know, green lighting TV shows and things like that. And you could see how disorienting it is to be on that end of the business, because they don't know what's happening. Because there's a kid in his basement that's reaching more people than they are reaching. But then that kid can't have a sitcom because that kid lacks the skills. That kid doesn't know how to put together.
Well, here's the thing, and no one really, you put right. No one really knows. Because it's not like that kid's able to monetize it.
He is. He's making a lot of money.
How much money?
I mean, not as
compared
much.
Compared to, like, I'm saying compared to.
Not as much as CBS.
On that
correct.
Scale. That's
absolutely.
He's making money enough for him.
For him,
but
correct.
But the numbers he has, because it's cumulative, it's about who's watching,
yeah.
Their engagement level.
Absolutely. It's not making nearly as much as a sitcom would in terms of advertising and things like that.
Right.
And I'm not
saying the sitcoms are here yeah. to stay. I'm just saying people who talk about, like, oh, TV's going to be gone. Like, no one really, they're still trying to figure out how YouTube is, like, making money and how, like, you're making money.
When you look at what's happening with TV, it's the medium itself seems to be in an irreversible decline, in the sense that people under a certain age don't really fuck with it. It loses a certain amount of eyeballs. I don't know if it's 500,000 a month or a year or whatever it is. People just, they're throwing out their TV set. I mean, they're just not
right.
participating. And I think at the end of the day, you're looking at, a lot of people that write articles, you try to get attention, they're hysterical, they're like, the death of Hollywood. You know, none of that's happening. But things are going to shift. People will always sit on their ass and watch TV. They're not going to read and do sit-ups.
I think a big part of it is
it's going to be Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. It is going
to
be.
And people like to be grandiose about it, some people. Like, oh, it's this whole paradigm shift of, like, what we want to watch, when we want to watch it. I think it's a lot more of as simple as, like, yeah, the cable companies have been able to fuck us for a long time because they got these oligopolies or whatever.
Yeah.
And people are still, you know, they're getting sick of it. They have other options.
You don't think
though.
It is deeper than that? I mean, you don't think it's your attention span is changing because of your phone, the content, the things that you consume?
Look, I'm sure some of that. But my point is also, it's like, you're getting fucked. And you,
right.
you should be like, you don't think people have been bitching about the cable company since they started the cable
right.
company.
Right.
Now you have an option.
Yeah.
That's like, you
and now you have an option. And I think Netflix, when you look at Netflix, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
And the idea of appointment television, like having, you know, I mean, Game of Thrones is still kind of works Sunday night on HBO. There's a few shows, you know, Saturday Night Live because it's live, you right. know, and it's, you know. But I think a lot, you know, HBO Go was one of the first people to do this. They said,
yeah.
you know, we're going to put out a digital platform. And I think they were ridiculed. I remember people being like, well, it's an overreaction, you know. HBO is a very strong brand. People know what they're going to get. The Wire, The Sopranos, Game of Thrones, whatever. They have all the archives. They get the comedy, the Vice docs. They get the sports.
Right.
And they pay money to do it. And they can have it on their, or, you know what I mean? They have it on their schedule. And that, and I think that's probably where it's heading. I think all these, you know, FX, these people make great TV. But they're gonna have to figure out, I think, going forward, how to, you know, basically exist in a digital world. I don't think you're gonna have the type of television you have now, in even 5 years.
Well, I mean, you think it's all gonna go away? No, of course
I don't think
not.
It's all gonna go away. But I think you're gonna have more and more networks doing what HBO did with HBO Go. I think more and more people are going to try to.
Here's the thing. HBO, like you said, is a cultivated brand.
Right.
You see, these people who watch Two and a Half Men or whatever is the equivalent now, they're not going to seek out Two and a Half Men on some
yeah,
digital
but
platform.
So you're looking at the very top of the market, big brand network shows. I'm looking at hundreds of channels on cable.
Oh, okay. Animal Planet and all that
all
shit.
All of this shit. Listen, ABC, NBC, and CBS, I'm not saying they're going away tomorrow.
Right.
I'm saying. All
yeah,
of these
I don't,
other.
I don't get how the rest of them make money. That's a good point. Like, if you're not part of the top 30, I don't know. Like, if you own, like, you know, yeah. fucking whatever, you know, slip channel, whatever
right.
the fuck, where it's just reruns of fucking I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Are you grinding out a profit? You're making like 100 grand a year, like,
no.
as the owner? Like, I'm saying.
I don't know how that works, but I just know this kid we're going to have on started in his basement talking to people about sports and things. He's connected with people. He sells at Caroline's doing live podcasts. he's connecting with people. It is interesting, man. It's a different world. He's not a stand-up comedian. He doesn't want to.
Right.
And that's great, you know? And I mean,
don't know why you have, like, we're at a point now with YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, I watch some, like, this guy Jim Sterling on YouTube. He's good. You check him out.
Who's that?
He's a video game guy.
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm okay. Thanks.
Like, I'm talking about people who listen to us.
Oh, check out Jim.
You don't have to. I'm just saying, like, there's certain people who are like, yeah, that guy's cool. I'll watch him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do I want to see him live? What's the point?
Right.
I like what he does.
Right.
Why does everything have to be something else?
Right.
It's like, oh, you like a book, it's got to be a movie. Holy shit. Like, the guy's got a good YouTube thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be a stand-up.
Yeah.
People, like, want to force this shit into... I mean, it's nice to have, like, live engagement with the fans, but, I mean, you know.
No, I just... I was looking at it as, you know, I love live stuff. That's what I like. That's my thing. That's what I'm into. That's what I like to do since I'm a little kid when I was an actor. To me, like, that's the point. If I didn't have the stage and, like, the shows...
Sure.
But
you're not asking, like, fucking the guy. Who's the guy who plays Joey on Friends? Matthew Perry?
LeBlanc?
Matt LeBlanc. Yeah, going like, hey, why isn't Matt LeBlanc doing something live I can go see him?
No, No. Absolutely. But he does live stuff. He does live podcasts. They do live stuff. They're just not doing stand-up.
He's not some guy who has, like, I have my... He'll go on a podcast or go on a fucking chat show. My point is, like...
I'm not talking about Matt LeBlanc. I'm talking about this kid.
Oh, right.
This guy. You know, he does live stuff. He does live podcasts.
Okay, yeah.
They just don't, you know,
he'll sell out.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it has to be. This is, you know, I'm just saying it's interesting to me that it's kind of interesting that, like, people just buy the ticket now because they just like the guy.
Yeah.
I just like him. Whereas, like, I show up with jokes and skills that I've built to learn to not waste your time. And I'm not saying he's wasting anyone's time.
Right.
But I'm saying that, like, it's interesting to me because I'm like, people say to me all the time, like, you got to do a one-man show. I'm like, I do it every night.
Yeah.
Three or four times. It's comedy. It's my one-man show. They're like, no, but it should be like, don't worry about being funny. Like, have it be like, you know, connect and do like an arc. And I'm like, all right, I'm connecting
right.
by telling joke. Like, it's, I get, like, I'm expecting people to pay me because, but there's a lot of people now, man, that are just being them.
Well, here's the thing,
and that's cool, too.
The thing is, like, people... are empty.
Right.
Our fans aren't, but people in general are empty.
And this is a guy that vomited all over himself at a Vice work event.
All right, let's not use my workplace name every time. It's just a work event.
At a work event.
A work event.
At a work event.
And then
what do you sound like vomiting?
I think I just kind of lean forward.
Like, is he vomiting? No, he's talking. That's how he talks. He's just discussing things. No, it's green. It's green now.
It's red.
You're vomiting blood?
Well, no. People might have thought that. They had this can of wine that I drank by mistake. And there was a...
What?
Not a mistake, but I opened it up. I thought it was beer, and it was like wine. Wine in a can.
What kind of hobo party is this? What kind of homeless shelter?
It wasn't a gala. It was just like, hey, have a barbecue.
Were you invited to this?
Yes.
All right. What were you saying before this?
People are empty, and look... I can look at a guy and go, that's fucking funny. That's great. I don't need to connect with him.
Right.
I don't need him to be my friend.
Right.
That's what people want. They want to feel
Thank
like they...
Thank God for that person.
They want... These people want...
I don't need this guy to come and get me when I'm a lifeless corpse vomiting over myself at a party.
I bet you're making some really point about the Federal Reserve. You're like,
well, the entire economy is a house of...
You just fell down on the floor. But I get what you're saying. But a lot of people now, they go on Instagram. There's a girl doing her hair. There's 10,000 people watching some chick do her hair. It's something weird is out there. And I'm going to talk to this kid when we get him in here about this. Because you look at an Elton John concert, and there's 1,000 people watching it. And then you watch some chick doing her hair, and there's 20,000. But you're like, something's going on.
Elton John's not telling you how he feels about Crispix.
No, it's true. I agree. I think we've entered into this interesting new paradigm where people, like, they don't even want you to tell jokes or sing songs. They're just like, just be you. And they want to, kind of, I guess, envy you or something about you. Because this guy's a good-looking young guy who's got, like, a good family. There's always something enviable about these characters. Not always, but a lot of times. People like, I wish I was that guy.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit better than their circle.
Nobody's listening to our show because of that. Nobody's listening to our show and they're like, I wish I was those two. No, that's not the dynamic here.
That's the thing. It's these people, your body biologically is probably, we're still adapting.
Yeah.
It's hard to differ. Like, some chick's talking to you and like she's not, it's not like some performed thing. She's not acting. So
right.
It kind of to your body feels like, oh, she's just talking to me. She likes me. Like
yeah.
You, in your head,
right?
Yeah. You know, maybe she'd like it if I showed up at her house. You know, like
wait a minute.
I'm not me. I don't watch these.
Wait a minute.
These people are
Did
doing.
Did you just say that people watch YouTube videos because they? Do you think? If you think that some girl on YouTube wants you to show up at her house, can you please not show up at her house?
Of course not.
I don't need those fucking...
I'm not saying you should. I'm saying these guys are creeps.
What's nice about YouTube and Instagram Live is that you can see someone's location. And sometimes when someone looks at you on Instagram, you can say to yourself, that girl wants me to show up at her house and maybe even let myself in her house as a joke.
I'm not saying this is my point of view. I am getting out of the dark.
It's the creepiest explanation of social media I've ever heard when you say.
Well, you don't think it's part of the psyche? You don't think it's part of the gimmick?
That a girl talking to you on social media is sending you some message that she wants you to show up at her house.
Of course not. I'm saying you don't think the creeps, they just enjoy it. They enjoy like.
Who are the creeps you keep talking about? Who are these creeps?
I don't even go on Instagram. I'm fucking not. This is not me.
Now he's in full defense mode.
I'm sorry.
I don't even have an Instagram.
This whole show is about, this whole podcast we do is about facing the dark side of the American underbelly.
It's true. He's right.
And just reporting on what it is.
That's why we have zero advertisers.
And analyzing it for what it is.
It's true.
And every time I do it, you accuse me of trying to like break in some girl's house.
But it's very funny that you just... I agree with you. Here's what I will say. I agree with you that a lot of this is weirdly sexual when you watch some of this stuff.
Right.
And you watch these 19-year-old kids jump on beds and on Vine. Not that I've done that, but I have to research for the show. And there is a weird component of like, oh, there's a weird familiarity that
right.
you feel. And I get what you're saying. Like, oh, I'm in this guy's room.
Yeah.
I'm
yes,
in the room.
You're in the room.
I'm
yeah.
in the room with him. And he's just, you know, on his bed and he's jumping up and down. And he's some corn-fed middle American, you know, good-looking whatever. And it's like, oh, this is,
13?
You know.
Wait, what are we talking here?
No, it's 19, right? Nobody's fucking, listen.
I hope.
And at the end of the day, I see what you're talking about, this familiarity of like,
yeah.
there's not all these layers where it's like you're on a stage and you're doing comedy, you're singing. There's not all that pomp and circumstance. It's just like the real raw deal.
Right. And your body doesn't even know what to do with it. It's just
right.
it, you like it. You don't even know why. So, yeah, you want to come to my live show? Of course
yeah.
I do. Why
yeah.
wouldn't you? Know, it's like.
So it's interesting. So there's some weird sexual component, but there's also a component of like, I just feel like I have a friend because there aren't. Straight guys
oh, yeah,
watching
not,
all these things.
I'm not even saying purely sexual, but
right.
whatever it is, like whatever makes you attracted as a friend to a person. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because look, there are certain friendships that are equal and certain friendships where like one guy
is the guy and you're right. Okay.
And you're clearly better
he
than him, but he like, likes being around you. Like, you know,
right.
it makes you feel better about yourself.
Right, right, right. So I think that it's very, we're going to have this kid in. We're not going to say his name now, but we'll have him in. He's going to do the show. And I'm very curious about how you build. Because here's the thing. Here's a big misconception. People are like, all these stand-up comics, like, these guys don't work. They do. They put out a lot of stuff. You might not like it. You might not think it's good. But they put out a lot. They do videos all the time. They
and then the
work.
Argument might be
yeah.
that they don't put the kind of... It's the kind of work where it's like... And like, a lot of stand-ups don't do this either is the problem.
Yeah.
But like they don't put the time into like honing a craft.
No.
And learning
correct.
To be good at
but
something.
But the craft for those guys is just the... amount of access you have to them.
I don't think it's a craft.
Well, okay.
I don't think we replace quantity with quality. Like, I think that's
listen,
a slippery
listen.
Slope there.
So here's the deal. We could go into the definition of what a craft is all the time. Somebody at Juilliard who's fucking conducting a symphony, when I'm talking about that I'm fucking, you know, fucking, if I had AIDS, it wouldn't be one of the things killing me. They might look at me and be like, this is not a fucking craft. So here's the deal. I would agree with you. But they're making a lot of money. They've monetized it. They've got a lot of eyeballs on it. Now, you can shrug, but they don't give a fuck.
Well, yeah, okay. That's the thing. Here's the thing. It's come before. You can have this money, and I'm not even shit on them.
Yeah.
But, like, taking this easy
so
road...
So we're not going to say...
Wait,
can we say it's a skill?
I don't even know if it's a skill, but like, if you take this easy road to fame and money, it's like... You don't necessarily get respect,
there's
too.
There's no such thing as an easy road to fame and money. These kids are still working.
Whatever. Here's, they're working, but points the shortcut... to fame and money.
You're not going
to
get the respect. I get it. I get your point.
Why you also deserve the respect of a guy
you
who
can't have it all.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, that's fair. That's fair. You can't have it all. If you're going to throw up on yourself at a work event for an undisclosed company, where you're laying there and you're passed out and people think you're dead. You'll get respect. People respect you. They think what you do is very funny. But some, like a guy who's on the way to a ski lodge with some chicks he's going to bang and his best friends and he's paying for all of it.
Right.
Because he's great on social media. I get it, folks. TimDillonComedy.com is in transition. You can get dates. I'm going to be at Denver Comedy Works with Dan Soder at the end of June, July. I'm going to be at Zany's in Chicago. August, I'm going to be at Dead Crow Comedy in North Carolina. Also, Mohegan Sun. I'm going to be headlining that. I'm all over the city at great clubs like the Stand Comedy Club, Stand Up New York, Caroline's, wherever, Gotham. You know, I have all those dates. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Twitter and Instagram. We are going to do some more bus shows in July. People loved them. They were a lot of fun. We'll try to get Ray out on one of them again. He came out. He had a lot of fun. So anything for you.
Guinea pig.
Folks, thanks for listening. Goodbye.